B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Drill here on Felger and Maz. A little bit of a fire drill. I'm having computer problems already here, Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
Not being able to log in for some reason, like all kinds of bull crap going on. We just walked into the building for crying out loud. Holy crap. In any case, I had a nice cut we were going to start with, the whole nine yards. We were all set and ready to go. So what we were going to play for you was a comment from Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston on a podcast with Peter King regarding the ongoing situation in the NFL. And I still think, I don't know, Murray, maybe I'm in the minority here. I understand that, players are reporting the NFL training camps. There are people opting out. Dante Hightower opting out blindsided me. I mean, it blindsided me. I didn't see it coming. I think it's a major story because he's a major contributor to the Patriots' success over the last 10 years. You're talking about a big piece there that is now out of the equation. And so we're going to get to a lot today. I feel like we have a full show between Hightower and the fallout from that. And I say Hightower, but I'm also including Chung and Marcus Cannon. The Red Sox continued ineptitude last night, and now their inability to run the bases. We know they can't pitch, but base running is a problem, which from time to time it is with them anyway. Joe Kelly wants to start brawls. The Celtics start in 2 days. Did you know that? Celtics open Friday.
Yes. Yeah,
it's kind of sneaking up on people, though, a little bit. So I think there's a lot to get to. And I know we're having computer problems here on top of a lot of crap. In any case, Jimmy Stewart tells me that we are now, his computer at least, is up and running.
I'm functional.
Okay, mine's booting. And again, Murray is here today. Felger is out, so Murray's alongside. Matt McCarthy here once again.
Do you want to do a show restart?
No, we don't need to.
Okay.
I think we're okay. We can just pick it up right here.
All right.
All we've done is a little bit of grab ass for the first 3 or 4 minutes, which is fine.
And angrily complaining.
But that current comment I told you about, it caught my attention because it was really the way it ended more than anything else. But this is Tom Curran speaking with Peter King in the wake of the opt-outs yesterday that obviously included, or in the last few days, that have included six Patriots, including Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon. Here's Peter King and Curran.
From what I understand, the Patriots operation will be you'll sit in your car, you'll have the opportunity once you're called from your car to be summoned to have your temperature taken. After your temperature taken is, you'll go up some stairs. Once you get up the stairs, you'll do the nose swab. When the locker room area is cleared, you'll head into the locker room and you will change. Then you'll have the training room will clear and then you'll be taped and then you'll go onto the field. I think for some of these guys specifically, accepting Cannon, you come to a point where you're like, I've won Super Bowls. I've made money. I'm in my 30s. Do I want to deal with this in 2020 to have a rebuilding season and go 7-9, 8-8, 9-7? No, you know what? I'll stay home with my new baby. That to me is what we're looking at. And I've contacted a couple of the Patriots today, Peter, and they've kind of, said, yeah, that's what we're all looking at.
So you think the number goes above six?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, just the way he ended there, that was pretty definitive, wasn't it? Like, there's nothing gray about that. Do you think the number's going up? Yeah, I do. And so it's only going to get worse, I think. And again, I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Murray. Certainly the McCourtys are on everybody's radar. They would seem like logical guys to opt out at this stage. But I am interested in and this is a sports side of it now. Okay, there's the real world side of it. And I don't think anybody questions anyone's decision to opt out. We can question the way guys conduct their lives, whether or not they're taking all the necessary precautions to prevent themselves from getting the virus. We can do things like that. If someone is scared to play in the midst of a pandemic, I have a hard time criticizing them for it. I don't know if you do, but I presume you're the same way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even you know when David Price opted out, mostly that weekend coming back, people were like, oh, get on him, get on him. Can't wait to hear what you got to say about him. He's a bitch ass. Get on him on Monday. And I was like, no, I'm not actually not going to do that. David Price is a pill, but any of these guys in whatever their respective sports they're playing, if they don't want to play, I get it. Like, it's we're in unprecedented times. So if they have fears about it, they have someone at home that could... it could be extremely problematic for if they ever brought the virus home. Like, I get it. If you don't want to play this year, I completely get it.
Do you think fans feel the same way?
No. No. I'm sure some do. The more enlightened ones do. But you're certainly going to have people out there that are like, well, I got to go to work. How come you can't go to work? Like, I've already seen it all over Twitter. We've had some of those calls already over the last few months. So, you know, I understand that too. But... And look, I mean, any of us that have to do a day-to-day job, we're obviously in a different situation. But if these guys have that opportunity and they can still make some money and then, you know, essentially take a year off, but they are legitimately scared and they just think the whole thing's too screwy, I don't blame them.
So I want to know how fans feel about it. And more importantly, I want to know how the team feels about it. And when I say that, I mean, there's got to be more to the story here. And I don't mean that there's anything sinister or devious going on. I just mean there's more depth to the story. So one of the things that I found odd today in reading, and I say odd, but informative, okay, is that in all the stories I read, there was an account of who opted out, what their past was. I didn't see any real speculation about how the team felt about it. Nothing. You know, the Patriots knew this was coming. The Patriots didn't know this was coming. The Patriots were blindsided. They knew about Cannon. They didn't know about Hightower. I haven't seen anything like that. Have you?
No. And why would you? Because if you had anything come out from the team, even if it was speculation or definitive, if there was anything negative, if there's any kind of negative connotation to how the team or Bill felt about it, they'd look like complete a-holes.
Okay, but again,
so you're not going to see anything like that.
But I didn't say negative or positive. I just said anything indicating whether there had been conversations between the team and the player.
Yeah, like, but I know where you were leaning.
No, I'm not. Honestly, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not looking for someone to say, oh, Belichick's pissed. What an, you know, no, that's it. Listen, Belichick's smart enough to not play that game. But I do wonder about the story leading up to the actual announcement. So, you know, was there conversation? Was there not conversation? Were the Patriots caught by surprise? Did they not know? And I understand they're going to protect this information very carefully. I get it. But I do wonder about that part of the story. And the reason I say it is because on some level, and again, I wonder how fans feel about it, because on some level, Belichick has to have been surprised by the names on that list. And the two in particular that stick out to me are Hightower and Chung. So I was talking to someone last night who has, you know, more intimate knowledge about sort of the Patriots locker room, the whole culture down there than I do. Okay. So, and this person said, you know, Hightower and Chung, those are like real sort of fabric guys. Those are core guys. Those are value guys down there. And Bill loves them. Bill loves both of those guys. So for them to opt out had to be either surprising to Belichick, disappointing to Belichick. Like, there has to have been... Chung just got a contract extension. Chung's contract got extended in May.
Why is that, Tony?
You tell me, Jimmy.
Hush money.
So I just think it's... I just wonder...
I don't think he's surprised. I mean, this for all of these names to come out as quickly as they did, or as grouped as they did, I have to believe that these conversations were had between Bill and these players over the last few weeks. Disappointed? Well, then we can have that conversation. I'm sure he is, with two team leaders and a guy who I've said now for years, Patrick Chung, I think is the toughest SOB on that team. I mean, you lose that. You know, the toughness, that leadership in that locker room, and it sounds like the McCourties are also wavering. Yeah, I'm sure Bill's disappointed.
I mean, so the other thing is, if he knew, I think that is equally important. So I said this to you yesterday. Their whole 180...
Well, he should know. I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is why I have to believe that he knew. It's like...
How long ago?
week, couple of weeks maybe? I mean, so any of these coaches should be going to the players now and saying, like, look, you have till August 3rd. Can you let me know, like, as soon as you possibly can and not on August 2nd or the morning of August 3rd if you are going to opt out this year?
So this is the stuff I would like to find out. And again, because even if, let's say Belichick knew a month ago, 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, yeah, there were some guys that early on came to us and expressed some concern about this and some trepidation about playing. From the very beginning, we've had guys express to us, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm not sure what I'm going to do here. Because I wonder if it triggers other moves. I said this to you yesterday. Was part of their 180 on Cam Newton an attempt to either convince guys to stay, try to make the team better because they knew they were going to lose guys? Is it connected? Maybe it's not connected. But to me, these are questions that I would love to have answers to. And just purely as a fan and a spectator, a follower of the team and of the sport. Like, I want to know what went into the decision-making. Did they draft linebackers because they knew they were going to lose more of these guys? We presumed it was going to be just because Van Noy and Jamie Collins left the team via free agency. Maybe there was more. Maybe Bill knew he was also going to lose Hightower. I mean, maybe they drafted Duggar because they were worried about Chung. Clearly, they were worried about Chung because there was talk of him retiring before they redid his contract. So that's all. I'm just interested in the machinations behind it. Because if you are looking forward to me, there's a story there. There's always a story there. Now, it might not be salacious. It might not be all that interesting to most people, but there's something. There's some information there that I think has value in terms of, again, roster building, whatever. And so I hope that somewhere along the line here, we start to get some clarity on it. That's all, just so we can understand it. Because I like to understand things. Sorry, I know it doesn't seem like I do. Sometimes I don't give a rat's ass. But I like to understand what the thought process was. From what I understand, Belichick is due to speak on Friday. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So now, if Bill is Bill, I think we can all know how that's going to go. And you just sort of accept it. But I don't know if you're a fan. I was blindsided by the Hightower thing. I was, I admit it. And it sort of changed my outlook and perspective on what the season's going to be a little bit. Now, again, as time goes on, maybe that will come back. And I'll say, okay, they moved on. This is how they're going to do it. And that's life. And at the end of the day, that is what it is. But I, not having Hightower there too, oh man, that's a major, major blow. We're talking about the central nervous system of the Patriots on the field, master control. Brady at quarterback, Dante Howard with the green dot on defense. That's the central nervous system of the Patriots. Like, that is the brain of the on-field operation. So I don't know how it doesn't shake your faith or foundation in the team, or you know what I mean, your faith in the team, shake the foundation of your belief going into the season and for the league, all of that. I mean, it was the kind of opt-out that made me go, oof. Maybe this isn't going to be what I thought it was going to be. And that bothered me. So that's where we're going to start. 617-779-0985. Again, we'll get to a lot of other stuff during the course of the day. We're going to try to hit on all four teams today. And the continued... McCarthy, how do you like your baseball team?
Oh, they're great. I love them. Thank you very much,
Oh, my
Mass.
God.
I love them for comedy's sake. They get funnier by the night.
Seriously,
I can't get enough of it, actually.
Best reality show on TV right now, Murray.
So good.
Best reality show on TV. We'll get to the Red Sox, too. We'll even touch on the Celtics and the Bruins. David Pasternak spoke within the last day or so yesterday. So we'll have plenty to catch up on. And we will do all of it with you next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
And I respect completely anyone who chooses to opt out, and I believe that it is a personal decision they have to make, and we should respect them, and we should honor their decision. It is not an easy thing to do. to walk away from football for a full year, to walk away from the money for a full
year. $8 million.
No guarantee you're still going to have it next year.
Right. Just, it's risky, you're not right.
Right now, if he stays, he's going to get that $8 million. They're not going to cut him. A year from now, you're giving up your spot.
Right.
You're giving someone else a chance to prove that he can do your job. That's the risk you are taking. I don't want us to be accused of rooting for guys to opt out. You know, you never know what you're going to be accused of nowadays. We want guys to make the decision that's right for them, and it is a brave decision to walk away, because that door may not be open on you when you come back.
That's Murray's buddy, Nana Florio.
I actually was more entertained by Chris Sims as like the hype man there. No. Mm-hmm. You got it.
It's usually what I do, Murray.
Right.
Sit there in the beach chair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you go. You go.
Great take, Maz. Great take.
So, but I thought this was a good point. Like, there, you look at this and you say, Hightower opted out. Chung opted out. That might be it. Those guys are probably done. And Florio articulated it there, and I think he's right. Where he says, so play it out. Hightower's going into the final year of his deal. They just drafted a couple of linebackers. I mean, maybe he looked at one of those guys as being his replacement, whether it was Uche or, you know, whoever else. Who's the other kid that they took?
Anfernee Jennings.
Jennings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe he looked at it and said, so wait a minute. I just had a baby. And the other thing that was in that Curran cut that we played, you heard Curran say, yeah, it's going to be a rebuilding year, 7-9, 8-8, 9-7. Is that the way we all feel if they're all out there? And now that Cam Newton's here?
No. No, I mean, regardless, do you think Bill feels that way?
No.
I'm curious that Tom said that, in that just a few months ago, he was saying, you know, the word is behind the scenes there is that, you know, Bill is going to give his all this season, too. Like, he's got his eye on what Brady's doing down in Tampa, and he's going to be damned to have a worse record than him. I'm kind of paraphrasing there, but it is. Bill's not tanking it this year. That's the other thing, and I'm sure we'll get to it later. Like, there's no
that's coming.
Win never for Trevor or anything like that. Even if these guys are out and they've opted out and these are big names, I mean, yeah, they might struggle a bit, but it's still the AFC East. Do you really feel like the Bills were a prohibitive favorite? I kind of don't, just because of the quarterback there. Like, they're not going to half-ass it just because some of these players are opting out, and he's still going to get the best out of guys like John Simon and nobody's, because he's done it before. Like, they're not going to go like 7-9, 6-10. They're just not.
Oh, I don't think so either. And again, I'm sort of the part of me that is intrigued, Murray, is the backstory of it. So again, if you're Dante Hightower and you say, you know, the story that's reported or was reported is Hightower has a newborn, his mother's a diabetic, final year of the contract, he's won, he's got rings.
He's also taken a beating too. So last year he had a good year, but if you remember in 2018, good postseason. That regular season, he had like disappeared at times and was banged up too. So, you know, again, now that he takes a year off, how motivated is he going to be to come back in 2021 anyway?
Well, so that's ultimately what I'm saying is this just isn't just about opting out.
I think you can throw Cannon on there, too. I wouldn't be shocked if he's done.
I mean, I think really what those guys are saying is we're probably done.
Yeah.
It's not worth coming back for this. We'll sacrifice these $8 million and we're done. Because, again, if they come back next year having missed a year, you think Bill's going to pay Dante Hightower $8 million if he comes back?
No shot. No
so,
way.
So they know this. They know this when they make the decision. So all I'm saying is that there's a permanent element to these decisions that I think we need to think about more seriously in terms of what went into this whole thing. I don't think it's as simple as, it's a COVID year, I'll be back next year. I don't think it's that at all. I think it's much deeper than that.
Yeah, and just for a temporary element, just looking at 2020, at the very least, the depth is going to be tested, you know, all over, but especially at linebacker. And you got to hope that these kids that they drafted, whether it's Uche, Jennings, Chase Winovich last year, can make some sort of an impact. Because otherwise, they don't really have anything there. Now, John Simon's a nice player, but like a role player.
I mean, I sort of put Cannon in a different class because of the illness and, you know, and he's even in a different classification as far as the league is concerned. He was considered high risk, right? So Cannon, I think, gets the $350,000 instead of the $150,000. And if you've followed it all, you know that there's a difference in terms of what the players are compensated if they opt out. So Cannon, I think, it goes under the list of high risk. Is that right, Matt McCarthy? I know you looked that up for us.
I will find that specifically for you.
Yeah, on that list of guys who opted out, some are classified as high risk, some are not. And I think Cannon qualifies as high risk. So let's just double check that. But I think that, you know, the other thing is I say Chung, they drafted a safety who is sort of like Chung. And maybe those guys looked at it and said, they drafted my replacement. I don't want to play in this thing anyway. And so I'm done. Like, I just wonder if that's part of the story. That's just part.
I know, but you're kind of riding the fence. What's your gut tell you? You think that they've known since the draft?
I don't know, Murray. I know you think I'm playing some sort of game because, you know, everybody thinks a talk show is a game. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not lying to you. I'd like to know the whole thing. When did, you know, did Hightower sit down with his wife 4 months ago and she said, hey, or his, you know, fiance, hey, we got to think about this. I don't want you playing. Like, and I don't know that these guys would be totally open. When did the discussions first begin with the team? How long has it been out there? Did it factor into what they did in the draft? Did it factor into what they did in free agency? I just want to know the connection. That's all.
It's a lot of facilitating. Is it the chair? Does it have like a symbiotic thing that it does? Like it just takes over and it's like, I have these questions, but I'm not going to give you what I feel.
Like, you mean like Venom and Spider-Man?
Yes, very good.
Symbiotic thing? Yeah. See, I knew that, Murray. The guy who normally sits here, no clue what the hell you're talking about. Mo's in Rosendale. Go ahead, Mo.
I love this, Murray.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? You know, so when this happened yesterday, it kind of seemed very abrupt to me. And it just didn't seem Belichick. It kind of seemed like a public spectacle, and I was wondering, maybe Bill was trying to influence and make it easier for players on other teams who might be on the fence or second guessing their decision to opt out, you know, because he definitely looked at the situation and he knew six players on his team were opting out, looked around the league, maybe you know, not hearing names, maybe got a little nervous and you know, kind of wanted to even the playing field. So I don't know. What do you guys think
about
that?
Okay, but I don't know. Even the playing field, how? Jimmy, you're going to have to drop him. I'm frozen up again.
You have Hightower. You have Super Bowl winning vet, front set.
Okay, I don't know what he's getting at. I have no idea.
It's the master plan, Maz.
So do you have that list in front of you, Matt, of guys who have opted out?
I do, yes.
How many guys total? Do you have a number?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 18 for the Patriots, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
26 guys. The Patriots had six of them. Nobody had more than six, right?
That's right.
That's Mike Francesa-esque by you back there.
Yeah, it is. Just count them all up on the air. What the hell? Let's do that.
Why the hell not? Six for the Patriots. No team has more than two.
Okay, so that's
what makes it so jarring. Again, like, you knew that this trickle was going to come out here this week because they haven't until the third. But it was bang, 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 bang. Six from the Patriots? I figured it'd be two, three. Maybe we would get to six over a week's time in basically a 24-hour period. You had that many? No, there's something there.
So, and this is, the caller said jarring. And it's jarring to us because we did not expect Dante Hightower, especially. Cannon, you had on Friday. Okay, fine. I get that. I'm surprised David Andrews is playing, if you want to know the truth. He crossed my mind as an obvious choice.
Agreed. No, and he is already, didn't someone confirm that? Was it Jeff Howe or something that he's spoke to him and said, yeah, I'm in?
Yeah, David Andrews is playing this year. By the way, Cannon is high risk, so he gets that extra stipend.
Okay, so again, he's sort of a different case. Like, to me, that one falls into a different class.
But so would Andrews, too. I mean, I don't know if it's more balls or crazy.
Yeah, totally. He would absolutely fall into it. Quickly, Kyle in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Kyle.
All right, so the first thing I want to say is I'm loving the Red Sox misery. I just wanted to put that out there.
You're not alone. Go.
It reminds me eerily of 2011, which I enjoyed thoroughly. So about the opt-outs, I can't understand any sort of outrage or I guess uproar of guys opting out because this is unprecedented. I mean, just because Hightower is a defensive captain and he's a centerpiece, I mean, that doesn't make him any less susceptible than anybody else.
Agreed.
What I do, right, and what I'm looking forward to, though, is kind of the crapshoot that this season's going to be. And if more guys continue to opt out and across other teams, I mean, you're going to see a la Keanu Reeves and the replacements. We could see some wild football that might open our eyes up to some pretty wild stuff because we're not used to seeing these superstars not on the field, and we got, you know, the popcorn vendor from Section 305.
Okay, so look, it's possible that it'll go that way. I mean, let's see what happens with other teams. Maybe Hightower triggers a chain reaction, and who knows? If it is popcorn vendors on the field, how does that affect your whole outlook for the season? You sound like you're intrigued by it. Other people might not be. I know I won't be. Like, if you're telling me the best players in the league aren't going to play, Murray, does the Super Bowl get an asterisk?
Yeah. Yeah, without question.
I mean, I don't know how you don't give it one. Now, look, you play the games, okay? We'll watch. I know I will because I'm craving sports.
But if a ton of guys end up opting out, and we're talking about big names, guys like Dante Hightower, and, you know, you have ex-XFL players or guys that were in the AAF a couple of years ago when that thing existed for a few months, and they're on NFL squads, and one of those squads, say, has like three or four of those players, they win the Super Bowl, like, yeah, of course that has an asterisk. Those guys shouldn't be on those kind of teams.
I mean, that's how I feel. It's just if there's a lot of those, and if there aren't a lot of those, then Hightower is the exception. And again, I sort of come back to where we began. And I say, I just would like to know how much back and forth there was between the team and the players, what the process was like. I'm not looking to blame anybody. I'm not pointing a finger at the Patriots. I'm not pointing a finger at the players. The players have a right to opt out, and the Patriots have to deal with it. I get that, of course. But I would like to know how much the Patriots knew and when they knew it, because I would like to know how much it affected their decision-making.
I can't think it's as early as the draft. I mean, when they were drafting the safety, taking these linebackers, those were areas of need anyway, regardless if they knew. I just don't think that they could have known that information that early.
I was surprised they took a safety. I was surprised. So I thought, you have McCourty back there. Like, at least with
old, lost Harmon in a trade. I mean, there was an area of need there, and just in terms of depth.
Yeah, I did not expect the safety to be their first pick in the draft, though. I did not. I thought they were going to do something else there. So 617-779-0985. Here's McCarthy with the latest.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Anytime New England players do anything, people take notice. It's New England. I mean, they're kind of the gold standard. That's just the way it is. It's a big blow to the New England Patriots. So if we do play football, I mean, I totally respect Dante Hightower's decision, certainly. He's the quarterback of that defense. I mean, we've heard Belichick a lot over the last few years just talk about how Hightower and Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung basically, you know, can coach the defense and can coach everybody and know exactly what to do and adjust. So you lose that. That's big. And that's a big position for them on their football team. But I understand it. I respect it. You know, New England, they got a lot of guys with brains. So they got guys that are thinkers. And then I'm not shocked to see some, you know, what is it? Four out of the nine guys are New England guys right now. Well, yeah, they're, for the most part, got some analytical guys and guys that think that way. And I'm not surprised from that standpoint that it is the New England guys leading the way right now.
Six out of the 26 who have opted out in the NFL are Patriots. No other team had more than two. Patriots had six. So now maybe the other teams will catch up. Certainly this process is just beginning. But maybe there are more Patriots to come as well. And I think I went through the names. I'm trying to think of who else was on there. There was somebody of note on there that I saw. But the biggest name was Hightower. And so, Matt McCarthy, and you're reviewing that list quickly. Who was the most notable name other than from anyone other than the Patriots?
I mean, Star Lotulelei is a pretty big name still in the NFL, right? I mean, he's a good player. You've got Devin Funchess.
Funchess.
He's a good player.
Yep, Funchess is the name I saw. Funchess is in Green Bay now, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so that one caught my attention, too. Funchess is a significant one, but I still think...
Yeah, but those guys have never been true impact players. Dante Hightower has. Is, you know, rather. I mean, he made two of the biggest plays in this franchise's history, at least in Super Bowls, in the last decade in two separate games. You know, the one against the tackle against Marshawn Lynch in Super Bowl 49, and then the 28-3 comeback. I mean, that's that sack that he had against Matt Ryan in that game completely changed the complexion of that game. He's a true impact player. Those other guys, they're kind of depth pieces. I mean, you know the names, especially if you're a fantasy player, but they're not. They're not players like Dante Hightower.
So I'm eager to see what other names end up on that list, Mario. That's all I'm saying. And again, I would just like to know what the Patriots knew, when they knew it, and how it affected their decision-making. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just telling you, I you know, I would
so
like to.
Defensive.
Well, no, because again, you said, well, you're kind of riding the fence and you're doing that. I would like to know.
But if you had to guess, that's all I'm asking. When do you think that they knew?
For a while. I think they've known for a while.
Okay. It's still kind of vague. You want to go back to the draft? Is that when they knew?
Maybe.
All right.
I mean, that's going back a ways. Maybe it was after the draft because your point's a good one. They had needs at the positions anyway. It's not like they didn't have needs. So I just wonder how much they have known. I even wonder, I told you, whether it factored into the Newton decision. Like, I wonder, did Bill try to convince them at all? Hey, look, we'll make this work. So just think about it for a while. Chill out. Let me, you know, give yourself some time. Kind of what the Colts did with Andrew Luck. You remember that?
Yeah.
So don't make this decision rashly.
This one seems more plausible to me than the draft. So that's a month ago yesterday that was announced that they bring in Newton. Did Bill know for about a month or, you know, 5 weeks? And, you know, he's like, okay, I got to do something here. These guys, they're certainly not going to stick around for Jarrett Stidham. And Lord knows nobody's going to stick around for Brian Hoyer. Cam Newton's still out there. Let me start these conversations. He had them reportedly anyway during the offseason. And then he pulled the trigger then. See, I got a shiny new quarterback again. This one, a little bit banged up, but he's been a league MVP, been to a Super Bowl. How about now, guys? Huh? So that would make more sense to me than, you know, going back as far as the draft.
I mean, I can tell you this for sure. No matter what happens, in the eyes of Patriots fans, Belichick will have been ahead of the whole thing.
Of course.
There's no way that. There's no way that Belichick got blindsided by this, right? There's no way. I mean, Bill planned the whole thing to the point where, like, all these cockamamie theories are flying around out there now, one of which you linked to today. McCarthy pointed out a tweet from Adam Schefter yesterday, right?
Yes, I've got that if you want it, Mass.
Okay, why don't you share that? What was that tweet yesterday that Schefter put out there?
This is, again, from Schefter. He said, an actual text exchange with an NFL executive today after six Patriots opted out. Him, quote, you know Bill is masterminding all of this somehow, right? Me. For what reason? Him. I don't know. That's why he is who he is. Unquote.
See, even the people in the league believe this. Belichick has that league so freaking twisted up that in the midst of a pandemic, they think that he's the one that created the virus.
I had no idea that NFL executives also doubled as callers to the Felger and Maz program. Yeah,
seriously,
Maz, it's all Bill's plan.
I mean, it is. It's
that's embarrassing for those other guys.
It is. Is that it, really?
He's the most accomplished coach ever. Maybe the greatest coach in the history of the game, but. To be that shook, even if you feel that way, keep your mouth shut, whoever that is.
It is. That's pathetic. You do. You sound like a Patriots caller. A Patriots toady is what you sound like. Paul and Maine. Paul, go.
Yeah, hey, guys. Murray, the comedy of errors that is the Red Sox just keeps getting better and better to hate watch. Man, I'm loving it. But, Maz, Patrick Chung was on CBS this morning, and he was asked if Bill gave him a hard time for opting out. He laughed and said, you know, everyone thinks Bill's a drill sergeant, but he's actually a really caring guy. No, he wasn't upset. He understands. He did add that it was a really quick phone call. I mean, no crap. What's Bill supposed to say? I do think Breer's onto something regarding the older, intelligent players on the team. I mean, they're here in part because they're high character and smart, so it can't be too shocking. Now they're using those brains to opt out. I totally get it.
Well, so that I think, is something that we all generally agree with, Paul, that the nature, you know, the quote-unquote Patriot way and the type of player that they like to build their operation around, the centerpiece guys, typically smart, hardworking, committed, good value system, all the above, right? Reliable players. They generally built the operation around those kinds of players. Those guys are smart enough to know when to get out ahead of it. And so I you know, in the case of Hightower and Chung, or in the cases of Hightower and Chung, and this was something we played earlier from Florio, it really needs to be emphasized, though, particularly with Hightower. Dont'a Hightower is 30 years old. He's got 1 year left on his deal at $8 million. He's having a child with his fiance, or had. So he's a father now, and he's opted out. The Patriots just drafted two linebackers. Hightower's going to come back a year from now and play and get his $8 million back? No way. No way. Even if he comes back to play, he's not getting the $8
million. Yeah, absolutely not.
I don't think.
No.
I think the Patriots will. Now, I don't know what rules have been put in place for this, but my guess is the Patriots will go to him and say, we need to restructure. Like, you've been away from the game for a year now. We can't just commit to the $8 million. Now we have to make a decision, and maybe the Patriots would cut him a year from now. So, I think
all know at the level of ruthlessness at times, and I mean it complimentary, that Bill handles roster decisions. I mean, while he would understand that a guy's going to walk away in this COVID season and have health concerns, you think he would do that out of the goodness out of his heart, like a year later, like, oh, no, sure, you take that $8 million. Like, he'd feel a little bit burned. He's drafted these two kids. Hopefully they pan out. see you later. That's it. He won't be back here.
I just think it's a complicated story. So again, the timeline to me of how it all went down, I'm just curious about. So I would like to know. And as for Patriots fans, the speculation about what this is all about, it gets stupid as usual. We'll share some of that with you when we come back.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
But do you have concerns about the McCourties now opting out?
Absolutely.
Because, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. As soon as I saw Hightower opted out, I was like, oh, crap. This could start a domino effect, because Dante is a humongous leader in that locker room. A lot of guys look to him, and now that he's made that decision, it makes it a little bit easier for Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore and, you know, maybe a Lawrence guy or, you know, whoever to say, you know what, I see what Hightower's talking about. You know, I sort of agree with him. I'm more comfortable with that decision than I am, you know, going into this. So, yeah, if I'm the Patriots, I'm worried that this is going to start an exodus among their guys who have multiple Super Bowl rings, have made many millions of dollars. I mean, I'm not questioning whether these guys want to compete or not, but it's just human nature with what they've accomplished and what may or may not be on the line for them and their families if they put themselves into this situation.
See, even Greg Bedard did it. I told you, Florio and Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk, NBC, they did it. They were surprised. Wow, Hightower. Hightower, because of the impact of that player. I mean, I know that's how I felt. And so if you remember, Murray, back when free agency began, I said if the Patriots lose Brady, I want him to keep McCourty. If they keep Brady, they can let McCourty go. It's fine, but I don't want to lose all that leadership. I never once thought about Hightower in that equation. I mean, he's a huge leader on that team, too. And you know, you heard Bedard.
Well, wasn't a free agent. It wasn't anything you would have considered,
well,
right?
Well, right. Yeah, right. So this is, but I put him in kind of the same class. Now you've lost.
Same.
Now you've lost two.
Yeah.
So it's like Brady and Hightower. Ooh, that's a kick in the nuts. Like that. That's a hard one to take. And that maybe that is why I'm reacting the way I'm, or I have reacted the way I've reacted to it. That I was completely blindsided by it. I did not see that one coming. And
it's an accomplished stud of a player that factored into these recent championships. This isn't just a role player. You can maybe I put Patrick Chung a tick below Hightower. I really do. I think he's that good of a player on this team and what he's met in terms of toughness and leadership. And so I think he's a factor too. Not as much as Hightower, but I don't think you can look at that name and be like, "Nah, no, that's not that big of a loss."
He's been in the league 11 years.
Yeah.
I added up all the money and Super Bowls and everything for those guys today. Okay. Obviously, they won 9 Super Bowls. I think they've been to 13 between them, and they've made over $100 million. Okay. $30 million for Chung, $30 million for Cannon. It's close to 35 for Chung, I think, and Hightower's over 40. So that's a lot of bread, a lot of hardware, a lot of intelligence, a lot of toughness. And there's no need for those guys to play in the air like this. I get it. I mean, I do. I am interested always in sort of the machinations of it, how they got to this point. And as for Patriots fans, this is something that you linked to. And again, that McCarthy read in that tweet from Schefter a little while ago. The idea that executives around the league are going, oh, you know, Bill's pulling the strings on all of this. We now have yet again, and I'm reluctant to even bring it up, but the Yahoo story that you linked to, Has there been this activity on Twitter again that this is all part of the plan and they're now going to suck for Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, of course, yeah. From a national standpoint, whether it's, you know, ESPN, Yahoo, whoever, writers, people, you know, talking heads on talk shows in the morning, they all think this is part of a master plan by Belichick, or some do, to win never for Trevor. Yeah, we're going to get Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback out of Clemson in 2021, and that is the plan. And I just think that's, while fun, you know, I do think it's kind of fun, because if for no other reason that it just especially makes Mike crazy and you too, it's not going to happen. Like, Bill's got too much pride. He does, and I think he does want to try to stick it to Tom, too, and make sure the Patriots have a really good record this year and squeak into the playoffs or have a better record than the Bucs. He's not going to tank for Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, a quarterback at Ohio State. He's not going to do it.
I mean, I can't.
The man's not built that way.
I can't wait to hear from these jackasses today, because I know it's coming. David in New Bedford, quickly. Yeah, Dave, what do you got, pal?
Yes, my thoughts. I was surprised about the news yesterday, but I think the Patriots will still have a good season because they play in the AFC East. My question is, what side of the ball do you think is more affected by the opt-outs, the offense or the defense? Thank you.
Well, I don't think there's any question right now. It's the defense.
For sure.
By the opt-outs. Now, overall, which side of the ball do you feel better about right now, Murray?
Oh, defense.
You do still?
Yeah. Even because of the secondary.
Because of the secondary, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm closer to even now. I'll tell you that. I'm closer to 50-50. Like, I do look at the offense, and I feel a hell of a lot better with Cam Newton there.
Yeah, and look, it's they're just, again, from a depth standpoint right now, they're absolutely going to be tested. I didn't feel great about linebacker, even with Dante Hightower there. But you can make a case for Juwan Bentley. He has been given signal caller responsibilities before when Hightower's been injured and out, so he can do it. Is he Hightower? No. And you just hope that some of these kids that they drafted in recent, you know, these last couple of years can pan out. But they still have that secondaries intact. McCourty's, they haven't opted out yet. Hopefully they won't. So I feel better about the defense. The offense, like, who the hell knows?
I mean, McCarthy, this should go without mentioning, but I'm going to say it anyway. If we get any opt-out news, let us know right away.
I will let you know.
And Jimmy's got his finger on the button over there.
I'm a big fan of hitting the button for, well, just about anything, really. There we go.
Okay, so I just want to make sure it works. Good job, Jimmy.
I just want to make sure it works.
Yep, no, that's right. Test it. Definitely test it. Always good to test it ahead of time. I've learned from experience on that one recently. Chris is in Raynham. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Do you think if the Patriots had, I don't know, Tom Brady, DeAndre Hopkins, who was available this offseason, and Gronk, that these players might have a little bit more interest in playing this season?
So
you mentioned all those factors, but maybe a lack of buzz for this team, maybe a lack of excitement, maybe a lack of possibility of winning another Super Bowl. You've said it a million times. These guys are used to winning Super Bowls. If you enter the season, these guys look at that offense. They know there is no way we're winning the Super Bowl with this team, so why play?
Okay, so Chris, before you hang up, let me just say, leave Hopkins out of it. They weren't going to get Hopkins. And I'll tell you what.
What the Cardinals gave up, they could have gotten Hopkins for Sony Michel in a first.
Okay, but just leave that. Just simplify the question. What if just Brady were here? What do you think would happen? I'm asking you.
I think there's a good chance that they would have stayed because they know they have a shot with Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady's there, you have a shot to win the Super Bowl. The ultimate end game for Patriots and Patriots fans is to win the Super Bowl. This season doesn't feel like they can win the Super Bowl, so why would they stay?
Okay, so Chris, as we know, is a big Brady honk.
As am I, but you know what, and it's funny, him and I are now aligned for the most part, but you know what kind of kills this argument? One of these opt-outs is a guard on the team that's still the favorite to win the Super Bowl that just won it. That's that Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, what, he looks at that team and says, like, no, we can't do it again? No, like, maybe it just is as simple as, look, I'm afraid of the virus. I don't want to bring it home. I got a kid. I got a diabetic mom. Whatever the situation may be, I don't want to play this year.
Oh, it could totally be that. Again, I allow for that. I mean, it could be that simple, Murray. No two ways about it. I told you, hard to understand the machinations of that one, and there are lots of variables for guys on the Patriots when you factor in the winning and the experience and all of it. I mean, there's a million reasons for those guys to say, that's it, I'm done. Because I think, really, that's what the decision was for Hightower and Chung, and maybe even Cannon. You know, do I want to play anymore? And if this means it's my career, am I okay with that? Because I think they had to factor that in, that this might be it. You might not be able to come back in a year because there might be a younger, better player there, and you had a year off. And you're going to come back with a big number, so salary-wise. So I think if you're those guys, you are making the decision on those parameters. You're saying this might be it. If you walk away now, you're not coming back. And they walked. Matt McCarthy, that list of opt-outs you have, how many of them were Tampa Bay? Did Tampa Bay have any?
Let me double check here. Hold on.
I keep putting him on the spot. He's ready to freaking kill me.
Zero for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So maybe that supports Chris and Raynham. Brady's team has zero. So they're all raring and ready to go. Of course, they haven't won jack ever. I mean, well, they have, but not in 20 years.
Nearing 20 years, yeah.
So totally different scenario, but Brady is playing and all the Bucks are showing up. So I don't know. Maybe there is a story there, too, in terms of the Brady factor. Does Brady leaving factor into that decision at all? I think there's something there to talk about, certainly, too. Top of the hour here, no commercials. McCarthy will get you caught up on the latest, including more developments with the Miami Marlins. I think that's part of his headlines. I think.
It is.
He'll get you caught up there. And then we haven't talked about the Bruins really in a day or so, a couple of days. David Pastrnak spoke yesterday. Murray, how'd you feel about that? Don't answer. We'll do that in a second. Here's McCarthy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.